Friends of Pelton, the organization I'm working with, to do some kind of accountability issue shooting at the strongest thing for a recall for, you know, Mike Rockin, Scott Kennedy, people who have...
Michael Hernandez.
I mean, you know, there was a consistent five people on the city council consistently every time an issue came up to delay, to accept an agreement that's cushy for the developer to sell the land. Everything that came up, consistently five people voted it down. So any of those five people deserve some sort of reaction from the citizens of Santa Cruz. We've been screwed on this deal, and they need to know that, you know, they're not representing us. The easier targets are those who claim to be, quote, progressives, Scott Kennedy and Mike Rodkin. And so so we would like to, you know, target those two. One thing I'd like to go back and say really quick is that, you know, we talk about people power. I mean, we had over 51 petitioners out there on this issue. We were only out there petitioning for 3 months. The normal standard time is 180 days you have to petition. So we did it in half the time, and we got, you know, 5,600 people. It was a real easy. I was out there on the streets. People wanted to sign this thing. People were grabbing it out of our hands. So, and then coming back to this recall issue, Mike Rockin, the worst part for me in this whole thing, you know, is the way that he speaks to the people. When we go up there, we said our piece, we said, you know, this development agreement, which Mike Rockin voted for, which lets the developers, basically protects them from any ordinances, petitions, initiatives, referendums, anything that might come into effect from the people that would affect their land that they've just bought.
It not only protects them, it pays their legal fees. And in addition to this, we're talking about what? How many luxury homes, how many million-dollar homes are we discussing?
15 very over $500,000 homes are going in.
So in terms of course, this destroys the homeless garden project, but more important, and perhaps as important, the pretext for this is that the city needs money. And yet I have heard claims and concerns that the rush to get this stuff sold is actually denying the city the best deal. In fact, what these politicians are trying to do is make sure the developers get the booty fast before the politicians get the boot from the citizens.
Right. It was suggested earlier when they were looking at the Pelton property to parcel it up and sell it piece by piece, and that way they would make more money. Well, it's quicker, and you can speed up the whole process if you just sell it all at once. So that's what was done.
And the reason speed was important was because you folks were circulating an initiative which would have put this matter to the vote. And I think you did a very important service, even though because of these technicalities and because of the city council and intransigence, I should say treachery, by progressives on the city council who got elected on one platform and then turned around and showed you their asses instead of their faces, or maybe they're the same thing. This you know, at that time of night, I'm not sure. You did a good service, because on the fluoride vote that came up recently, I don't think there would have been this kind of strong support for a citizen initiative if they hadn't seen that if they tried this kind of thing again, they would be out on their ass fast.
Yeah, another good thing that's come out of this is that they did decide to give $1 million to the acquisition of the Bombay property, which was purely political move. Both Mike Rockin and Scott Kennedy, 2 months before the petition, had decided to not give money to that acquisition, and now it's a big issue for them. So I think that we turn them around on that so they could use it against us.
And Carl, you're on the line.
Hey, hello?
Okay, well, try again, caller. Well, what I was saying about the attitude is when we were in there presenting really logical reasons why this development agreement that pays half the developers' legal fees and protects, it says that the city will protect the owner from any of these initiatives, referendums. Basically, the city sells out our right to be protected by our city and be represented by our cities because they want to protect and defend this developer. We're up there making these kinds of arguments, and Mike Rockin has nothing to say at the end except for, you know, who are you people to come up here and tell me how to run this city, basically. And
he knows better.
Yeah. that kind of attitude.
Knows better.
Right. And
a wise professor.
Precisely. Precisely. So, you know, who are we to speak on this issue? We don't know anything about this, you know. We've spent hours and hours in law libraries and looking up, you know, city codes and working on this issue. And I think that we probably know more about the details of Pelton than he does at this point. And to have a city official, a representative, talk to the people that he's representing, the progressives that got him into office, in a way like that, is just that's call for recall.
Well, what about legal support? I mean, you know, interestingly enough, after this incident with the committee meeting back in 1997 that the caller mentioned, the Sky Park Trust Fund or whatever it is, Skyview Park. Certainly, if there was a Brown Act violation, it's strange that attorneys didn't immediately respond. And right now, it's strange that attorneys are not jumping on your case. Before you answer this, let me quickly take this call.
Okay. Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Do you have any legal support? What's
we submitted our materials to a CEQA, which is California Environmental Quality Act lawyer, about a month ago. She does not get paid unless she wins, and so she did not want to take the case.
Hi, caller. We're getting on the line with you.
Like Big Butch, and I cannot lie. What the brothers tried to deny.
Creative. I think I've heard that on another radio station. I think he's got the wrong one. So she didn't want to take the case. We did get some pro bono work from a local lawyer. It seems like there's politics within lawyerships. If they don't think they're going to win the case, if they're not feeling, you know, very sure, they don't really want to take it. Pro bono work seems to be sketchy. We got some sketchy advice that led us possibly down wrong avenues, and once we started paying this person, we felt like we started getting them pulling out because now their name was attached to this case. And so it's been a learning experience for us, just learning how to deal with lawyers and the legal aspect. I feel like we have a legal leg to stand on several issues. We are still talking about what we feel we can pull off. You know, the real truth of it is, though, it comes down to money, and those with money can get lawyers whenever they want and defend their rights and what they want in their community. And you can have, you know, 5,600 people in Santa Cruz wanting something, but unless, you know, everybody's pulling their money together, then we don't have a lawyer and we don't have a case.
You know, it's interesting. I saw, you know, that's the old golden rule. You know, she who has the gold makes the rules.
Uh-huh.
Last city council meeting was Tuesday, and if we had more time on the show, I'd be playing some cuts from that city council meeting where the issue of the destruction of the trees at the Pelton Street area came up. I believe that Gilliam brought that up.
Jillian Greensight.
Sorry, Jillian. I'll get it right. The issue was, you know, first of all, they were directed not, you know, the Parks and Rec did an incredible end run with Jim Liebensraum Lang, as I call him, head of the Parks and Rec Department, who has a notorious anti-homeless record. He's the one who put all the parks off limit at night. He's the one who made the town clock a park, so-called park, so people couldn't protest there at night. He's the one who recommended the entire levee front be closed to people after dark. So it's illegal to sit down under a tree on the levee after dark and look at the stars, or even walk along the levee unless you're walking directly through. Lang's department misled people trying to appeal those trees, telling them that there was an appeal in process when it wasn't, telling them that a full appeal was in process when only a partial appeal was happening. And then at a recent hearing, when the Parks and Rec Commission found that those trees, that they upheld the right of the trees to remain, Lang and his staff come running in and oppose it. Now they asked the city council to allow those trees to be cut down, and the city council went along 4-3, unfortunately, after that whole process. Of course, part of it has to do with what you're saying, that there's no money on the side of the people. What we need, of course, is for the people to stand up in numbers And when that begins to happen, you know, money will be less of a factor, although it's always a factor. Is there a likelihood that on the Pelton Street property, the Homeless Garden Project, people are going to stand up, whether it be in terms of a recall, in terms of protests, in terms of legal action? What's going to happen? How are people feeling? Are they demoralized? What's going on?
Well, we are kind of at a slump point right now. We're feeling kind of, you know, kicked again. So we are meeting and making decisions about what our next action will be. And recall is one, as you've mentioned. Legal avenues is another. But civil disobedience definitely is on our minds. And we're trying to round up some people, get them trained on civil disobedience so that when the bulldozers come in to break ground or when the chainsaws come to knock down those final trees, that we have a critical mass there saying, get off our land. You know, you can't do this to our trees.
People's park, Amy.
Yeah, we're talking People's Park, Robert. So, if people are interested, call us up. You can call me. My number is 479-0588. We do need people who want to make a stand, and this is a, you know, a nice empowering way to say, I don't think so. We've been jerked around too many times. I don't have the money, but I'm going to devote my day to sit in front of this fence and block and protect this, my public property and these trees and this nesting ground for hawks. And so we'd like to see that happen, definitely.
Also wetlands, is it not? I mean, there's indication that it's a wetlands that's also being destroyed here.
Go look at it now. It's very clearly a wetland. Yeah.
Give us your phone number again, Amy.
It's 479-0588. And
479-0588. All you attorneys out there who want to, you know, actually do something for the local folks, get off your butts and give a call to Amy. She can use it. Use your help, and anybody who wants to be a part of this. Is there another meeting coming up of the folks around Pelton Street?
Yeah, we meet at 426 Barson Street on Monday nights at 8 p.m., and people could come on out.
That's 426 Barson Street, Monday nights at 8 p.m.?
Uh-huh. And, again, you know, money has been a constant issue. We've put in between about maybe six people about $2,000 already on this issue, so we are seeking donations for this cause. So if you don't have time to donate, you don't have the energy, send us off a check. We could sure use it, pay past bills, and to help us out with any other future projects that we decide to do. To
the phone number again is
479-0588, and checks, if you want to send a donation, write it out to Friends of Pelton. That's two, and send it to 2268. Juan Pablo Lane at 95062.
And you've been listening to Amy Courtney on Bathrob Spears' Broadside, Civil Rights for the Poor, and actually for all of us, because when you defend civil rights for the poor, you're defending your civil rights. You may not know it, but you may be there soon, and certainly some of your friends are there already. Next edition of Bathrob Spears' Broadsides will be on Sunday at 11 o'clock. I want to remind all you you birthday buffs that today is Kate Richards O'Hare's birthday. She was born March 26, 1877. She's a European-American birth control advocate, prison reformer, and leading socialist in the Debs era of the Socialist Party. She was born in Kansas, became active in the temperance movement, and assisted unwed mothers and prostitutes, became a socialist in her disillusionment with the church, and from the fiery oratory and leadership of Mother Jones, and she herself became a powerful speaker rallying Kansas poor farmers and migrant workers. In August 1919, she and other comrades were arrested, convicted, and imprisoned under the Espionage Act for criticism of the U.S. role in World War I. She served 14 months and was released to a decimated white left movement. That's Kate Richards O'Hare for all you calendar buffs. Say a word for her tonight. Remember her and what you're doing. And remember, Bathrob Spears' Broadsides. If you have any comments on this show, give a call to 423-HUFF. We'll put your comments on the air on Sunday. And I encourage you again to join us on Saturday with the Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Ban to help the initiative to repeal the sleeping ban, which will be a main focus of SCAN's Outreach Day. That's the Santa Cruz Action Network, Saturday on the 28th. We're going to be meeting first at the Paragolisi at 11:30 to assign tablers and trainers. And then we're going to be meeting at 1 o'clock at Loudon Nelson to rally support for the issues and SCAN candidates, particularly the sleeping ban. And hopefully SCAN may have some guts and start a recall movement against some of these suckers that have been sucking up their votes and then essentially voting down their positions. Coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz is Uncle Dennis, who always has a great show. He's the Earth First Man. I'm going to turn the mic over to him shortly after my final musical farewell. Please come back to us on Sunday at 11 o'clock when Bathrobe Spears Broadsides resumes. I appreciate your being with us, and I appreciate callers, those of you who called in. It's really great to actually have some dialogue with folks out there. Thanks again, and come on back on Sunday.
Do you hear the people sing, singing the song of angry men? It is the music of a people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes. Will you join in our crusade? Will be strong and stand with me? Beyond the barricade, is there a world you long to see? Then join in the fight that will give you the right to be free. Do you hear the people sing? Sing the song of angry men. It is the music of a people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start and tomorrow comes. Will you give all you can give so that a banner may advance? Some will fall and some will live. Will you stand up and take a chance? The blood of the martyrs will roll to the meadows of France.
Tune to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Coming up next, for the next 2.5 hours, Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, Civil Rights for the Poor, and You and Me. I'm your host, Bathrobe Spear Robert Norse. And we have a lineup of, hopefully, guests coming our way, some of them by phone, maybe a few of them in person, definitely some of them on tape. So stay tuned for 2.5 hours of hot talk. And of course, your talk too. If you call in, you will be invited on the air discussing any of the subjects we're talking about, maybe a few we're not. Call in number for Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 is 423-5361. We're hoping to hear from Theodora Carey, who's been active in the fight against forced fluoridation. We're hoping to hear from David Silva, who's going to give us the update on the Pogonip and meetings happening next week that will affect all of us, particularly folks concerned with the Homeless Garden Project. We're hoping to hear from Rachel O'Malley, if she can get to us, to talk about the situation at the Resource Center for Nonviolence and the informant network that was a part of the grant that the Resource Center for Nonviolence apparently has decided to accept. We want to get an update on that. We're hoping to hear from Jerry Henry and Richard Quigley, who are concerned with human rights for young people out at the Aptos Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center. They're going to be calling in today. Finally, today is a number of meetings will be occurring. We'll be informing you on that and updates on other things as well. So let's get to it. Stay tuned now. Bathrob Spears Broadsides.
It's not safe. There'll be a tear out there for me. I never go, I never will. Their silence won't restore me. I'm in the house, it's okay. There's grating on the windows. Up there they roast, up there they kill, and eat each virus morsel. Where there are picnics to offend me at the core of my being. Where I go out, where there are pigeons to descend and order me carry out. I can't abide. I'll stay inside as I was born, a lonely grain of corn. They pick their teeth, the yellow bits remind and further damn me. I go out, it's certain death, and I'm the only grain of corn in my family. I could live on the cob just as easily as they. I could die with the mob in the parks and frigidaires. But I choose to be free, behind bars, far from birds, with my house that's wrapped around me to disguise. And it's really, really corny, but true, I've got to be me. I've got to be me. A lonely piece of corn. Current dreams, corn-fed cows, cans of salted liquid. A lot felt tears, butter worlds laid out on the rice bed. Happy dreams, windswept fields, virgin stalks and fresh rains. Brave new corn on deaf ears, freedom talks for farm grains. Why go out where I'm a dime a dozen bargain at the old farmer's market? Why go out where in my prime a frozen giblet is the most I can hope for? I can't obey. I think I'll stay as I was born, a lonely grain of corn.
And that was Uncle Banzai from the mid-80s. From their album A Lonely Grain of Corn. Not entirely sure what exactly they're talking about, but some of it sounded pretty interesting. You are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. And the first thing we're going to do here on Bathrob Spears Broadsides is go back just 24 hours to the mall, the Pacific Garden Mall, where happened to be driving by, and I saw police stopping a man near Alibaba's Cafe in front of Juice World down there around, I think it's Lincoln and Pacific, across from Cottontails. And the bus turned out to be for, well, it depends on who you talk to, but the actual charge was vending on the mall. And recently, police have been cracking down, actually not recently, it's been part of their campaign, and I've seen it happening for the last decade, to go after people who they claim are displaying merchandise on the mall. We're usually talking about merchandise folks themselves have made, whether it's jewelry or maybe just small items, like yard sale type stuff that people need to sell in order to simply go about the business of living. And of course the claim is that they're vending without a business license. Well, this man, Gary, who was approached by Officer Richards, claimed otherwise, and we caught not only his response, but the officer's response and some of what the passers-by were thinking about the whole thing. We're going to play a bit of this. Also want to warn our audience that we're going to probably have to shift abruptly when we get some of the phone calls we're hoping for, because we really have to respect those callers who don't know. We don't exactly know when they're calling in, but we'd hope to set up a couple interviews this morning, as I mentioned to you earlier. So be prepared to kind of shift gears quickly. But until that happens, let's hear an example of our police force at work on the mall when they're not busy crashing through the doors at Button Street or popping off a few folks on Front Street. I should say one person. I'm talking about Happy John Dine. And indeed, I'm taking the worst cases. Because the worst cases need to be looked at, because that's where we need to rein in the abuses. There's some positive things indeed to be said about police as well, and I'm going to talk about that, and indeed I've mentioned it in the past. But let's consider the sad side. Abuse World and Eco Roads on Pacific. Officers running out. How you doing?
Give me a vending without a license ticket.
What kind of a ticket?
Vending without a permit, but I wasn't trying to vend. I had a closed case. I opened it up to some of my friends. Closed the case, put it in between my feet, and they approached me. Wanted to see my ID, so I showed it to them. He didn't give me a ticket for vending.
Oh, there were people all around.
That guy standing there with a little boy was watching. There was a couple ladies here. People were watching. The host, yeah, that was probably kind of out of
it. Do you think the host called the police officer?
I mean, what's the difference, you know?
Well, I'd like to know if we have a snitch network on the avenue, we need to know about it, right?
That's Bill Kelsey, David Edward Lincoln, Paul Edward Lincoln, Sam Russian.
What's your name?
Gary Roy.
Gary
Roy.
How do you spell that?
G-R-O-Y. I sell glass artwork to make an honest living so I don't have to break the law, and all they do is persist on giving me a hard time.
Let me talk to you about it as soon as the officer has finished whatever he's doing.
Right, exactly.
And they're talking about 10 o'clock.
It's a fairly busy afternoon. There's a man is getting signatures for various voter petitions. San Diego after several days of rain. And there's a host over there. Chunky fellow who is observing the whole situation, as well as a CSO officer watching.
I've never done anything wrong. I got one argument with you, and I even apologized. All you do is come up here and try to give me a hard time. And I'm like, why are you giving me a ticket? What did I ever do? No, it's not. Go bust a junkie.
I busted yesterday.
Well, yesterday. What about today and tomorrow? Why don't you bust the government officials that are bringing it in and letting it go down? I know how it's done. I know you do it.
Because you're parking the stall.
This is illegal business. There's 5 stores up and down this mall that are allowed to sell them.
I got a license.
They don't give licenses. I've checked. Therefore, I'm allowed. They don't say you need a license. I should be allowed to do it.
You know, you also have the option not to sign your ticket and say, take me to a magistrate. You know about that approach?
I will.
They will take you to jail, but then they'll eventually...
I'm good for it with that, huh? I don't need to sit in jail. I'll just go up before the judge and tell him how dumb their employees are.
If you refuse to sign the ticket, that means he is punished by having to take you to jail, book you into jail, and so forth.
Well, I don't want to go to jail. I'm getting ready to go to a movie.
I don't either. That's often the only way to stop these petty kinds of harassment.
Charges, file charges back. I mean, I did it to the sergeant, why wouldn't I do it to this guy, you know? I'll just file a harassment charge against him. I go research my laws at the law library.
You're listening to an instance on the mall yesterday, March 28th in the afternoon, a fellow named Geary was being given a ticket by Officer Richards, with another police officer standing by and a host observing, as well as a small crowd. You hear interesting kind of analysis there. From what you'll hear in the tape ahead, you'll learn that several witnesses say that he was not selling items, but he was, at a friend's request, showing the contents of his suitcase, which was had a number of glass water pipes in it, legal, but potentially items of merchandise. And further, that this officer had harassed him and his colleagues earlier. In fact, we learned this officer pulled a gun on people the night before, on Friday night, and what had previously been a sort of a drum music circle around Palace Arts Stationery. We'll hear from one of the witnesses who points out that he felt Officer Richards may have felt threatened, and that's why he pulled his weapon. Others felt it was unjustified. In any case, there seems to be my concern was that individuals who aren't engaging in real criminal behavior are becoming the focus of police harassment because of their dress, because of their clustering in an area, because the police officers have decided, as a matter of their own social policy, they want to get rid of these folks from the mall, and are using our laws, our money that pays their salaries, to do so. This